VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yep, but my two favorites are the Gibson SG and probably the Fender Telecaster. I love me a Telecaster.
And the SG is the AC/DC one, right? With a little horn?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
but I also really love the Gibson E335, which is the one that kind of looks a little bit bigger, has a hollow body. I love that guitar.
Well, I mean, that is going to be super, super interesting to 10% of our audience, right? Like, because I just think of a guitar as, and never mind.
Red first ones, of all, my favorite thing ones. Is, Timmy, you're like, hey, give me an answer to this question. Wow, that was boring. Our audience is going to hate that.
Great.
So sometimes,
nice work, Captain.
Sometimes I ask bad questions, and sometimes you guys get bad answers.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Jeff Simon.
What is that going down this? My life? Is my life a highway?
It must be tumbleweed.
It is tumbleweed. Thank you, Ben Martin. Because we're in the Southwest, Jeff Simons. Come on.
I forgot. Ben,
you forgot where we were going. Wow, it is.
But Life is a Highway is kind of a Southwesty song because of cars, isn't it?
That is not going to be our arrival song. But yeah, lovely. Maybe I should have gone to the car soundtrack. For this particular
tumbleweed is actually more of a Texas thing. I don't remember much of that in the Southwest.
Yeah.
You are our resident Southwest expert among the three of us there.
That's right. I lived in the Southwest for 2 years.
Yeah, were you?
Although Timmy was in Vegas. If you count Vegas as the Southwest, then he obviously gets some credit.
Vegas is the Southwest, but Vegas is off limits for this particular episode. We are 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. You can connect with us through Facebook. And do us a favor and leave us a review. By the way, we're going to be reading our latest review in a little bit when we head down to the torture basement. But before we get there, I have a quick question for you, Jeff. A quick question for you, Ben. When was the last concert you've been to and who did you see?
I think the last one I saw was Trey Anastasio at the Greek Theater with my buddy Adam Wiseman.
Woo! What'd you think?
It was fine.
Oh.
It was good. No, he's good. He's fine. It's great. It's just, you know, it's fine. It was like a really good hour concert in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay.
But I had incredible company. The guys I went with were so fun, and we had an amazing dinner in Berkeley beforehand. So by the time I got to the show, the night was gravy. So,
all right, Ben Barton, what do you got?
So one, it depends how you count it.
Okay.
I've been to open mic night at Geezer's Bar on multiple occasions recently to see my dad, Sing-Along Bill, work his magic at Geezer's.
And then
New Year's Eve.
Geezer's?
That's the name of the bar for sure. Okay. And he fits right in.
I was going to say, some typecasting right there.
New Year's Eve, the girls and I in India at the Fontainebleau Hotel right there in Miami Beach around the poolside. Uh-huh. We saw Khalid and DJ Marshmallow.
So that was right.
Yeah.
Was that fun?
It was more fun to describe than actually sit through.
Well, I asked this question because I went to a concert last night. You know,
win.
I was coaching volleyball from 7:30 to 9:30, then jumped in the car and made it over to Salvage Station here in Asheville to see friend of the podcast, G Love, playing with Donovan Frankenreiter.
Oh, I like Donovan Frankenreiter.
Yeah. That guy can play guitar.
Yeah.
He's good. He's also got a really cool mustache.
The Rich Price Band and Donovan Frankenreiter were playing all the same places for the summer I was in the van with Rich. Like, he was like the guy right before or right after us at like 7 tour stops.
Oh, that's so hilarious.
Never met him, but we were sure aware of him.
Okay. Well, they were great together. It was a super fun concert. He played My Baby's Got Sauce and I went absolutely nuts. That line from Wilco's Heavy Metal Drummer always comes back to me at concerts. Unlock my body.
And move myself to dance.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
Yeah. You have the other great line about dancing is, I can't remember what comedian, but the comedian is like, it's so uncomfortable to watch the moment when white people consciously begin to dance. When they just decide to start dancing. Yeah. That line is the poetic version of that reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not like to see video of me at that moment. Like, all right, let's go.
Well, anybody who's listening in the Bay Area, the next concert I will attend is my own. Woo. I'm playing the Hot Monk Tavern in Novato with a full band opening for friend of the pod and dear friend of mine, Megan Slankard. So if you're in the Bay Area on Saturday, February 18th, come to the Hot Monk and get there early because I'm the opening act. But it'll be a good time.
Wow. Wish we could be there.
You are always there in spirit, my friends. You are
goal.
The straw that stirs my drink.
My goal for 2023 is for us to get together at some point. And if I can't see a show, I'll just have you break out your guitar when we're together.
Sounds good.
All right.
I also want to say that daughter of the podcast, B. Simons, recorded her first demo last night.
Come on.
Nice.
Yeah. A little ditty called Hey Now, which I'm
Let's
very.
Go.
Hey
That's
Now.
Great.
Hey, here now. Hey Now. You got to know now. It's time for you to go. I was like, that is awesome.
I want to play it. I want to play it at some point on this podcast.
All right.
Sounds good. World debut. Well, we are arriving here in the Southwest. We'll define that geographically for you in just a second. But let's play our arrival song first. I'm going to let you guys pick the arrival song because I have two and I'm just having a hard time. Like, what is my mood when I arrive in the Southwest? Is it By the Time I Get to Arizona by Public Enemy starting at 1:53? Or Jeff Simons, is it the Rolling Stones version of Route 66 starting at 40 seconds.
I can't believe you're not giving us Take It Easy by the Eagles. I had that locked in. I thought for sure.
For our rival? No, absolutely not. No.
I mean, Ben does make a point that if the three of us are arriving someplace, that's more likely to be the general state of mind.
Yeah, man, let's do Route 66. That one's fantastic.
I love it. 40 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, coming up, this pause is brought to you by an old man who can't see very good without his glasses. Well, it winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. City looks so pretty, you'll see. Amarillo and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget, Nona, make some Moscow, St. Bernardino, one, two. Get him to this kindly tip. What year did they record that, Ben?
63.
Earth.
Correct.
Dang.
I mean, they'd recorded that before they knew what in the hell a Gallup, New Mexico was. I like the idea of him like reading those lyrics and like, I wonder what that is.
Seriously. All right. Well, let's.
I mean, obviously, the original Chuck Berry one's unbelievable, too. I had a Chuck Berry moment last night.
What was it?
What you got?
I was trying to describe my great joy at seeing something that I loved. And I said, I'm like a one-eyed cat peeping in a seafood store.
Nice. So great.
All right. The Southwest. We're talking New Mexico and Arizona for sure, but maybe we're also talking West Texas, Southern Colorado, Southern Utah, parts of Nevada, parts of California. What we're going to do is we're going to play a little geography game. Now, I know Jeff Simons has struggled with this in the past, but we've localized it, Jeff. And I am going to say the name of a city or town, and you guys are going to name the state the city or town is in. Are you ready?
Great. And we're working together. I love it. I like the teamwork.
No. Me too. No, this is...
You guys no, can- Ben... It's time to curb stomp me in geometry again. Let's do this.
Albuquerque.
New Mexico.
Durango.
Colorado.
Lubbock.
Texas.
Tucson.
Arizona.
I have it as 3-0 right now. Amarillo.
Texas.
Flagstaff.
Arizona.
Okay, it's 5-0. Ben's getting killed. Truth or consequences?
That's New Mexico. I'm on a lag. Yeah,
exactly. It's the home internet. I'm at work. I've got like the full 5-megabyte stream. I'm going to kill him at this.
Ben's picture is all fuzzy and everything. Exactly.
Ben's 2 questions behind.
Tough times.
I was sure Bullhead City was going to be one of your choices, by the way. I'm disappointed. I always liked the name of that one.
Well, out of all the towns or cities I've named, how many have you all been to? Like,
I've been to a bunch of them.
We've been to Albuquerque. Anyone been to Durango?
Yep.
Amarillo?
Yep.
I've been there.
Flagstaff?
Yeah.
I've definitely been there.
Yeah. Truth or consequences?
I've been there.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Wow. So we've all been to these places here in the Southwest, and two of us have been to Winslow, but not Jeff. That's a shame.
I have not been to Winslow. You've been to Winslow longer than either one of us, I think. But wasn't that where you flipped your Jeep?
No, I flipped my Jeep in Flagstaff.
Oh, okay.
That was rough. But you can't make a tape for someone and interrupt the song at the end of side one and just pick it up from there at the beginning of side two. I will not stand for that. I tried to then eject the tape and get a new one. And that's when I lost control of the Jeep.
That's a tough story.
It really is.
What was really tough was being upside down on the side of the highway. My brother and I, my brother's bleeding from the forehead and the gas is pouring down inside the Jeep, and there's Will Smith saying getting jiggy with it. I mean, it's a very so anytime I hear that song, it's like acid fills my mouth. I'm like, oh my gosh, so stressful.
That really is awful. Like, I'm going to lose consciousness in a burning vehicle to Will Smith's getting jiggy with it. That's tough.
Awful times. All right, well, let's get down to the torture basement, because I have put together a compilation that you would not believe. And this is when I will take a moment to read our latest review so that you guys can understand my state of mind when I made this particular compilation. The latest review comes to us. Oh, there's no identity to it. Sorry. The person gave us 5 stars, which is super nice. The title is "Great Show, but Take Off the Gloves."
Whoa.
Love the show, guys. I especially love that compilation portion and really appreciate all the work Tim put into it. He's great. However, he's been way too nice as of late. Jeff and Ben have complained so that now the thing's so easy, it's like they're playing on a 7-foot rim. It's time for Tim to take off the gloves and really let them have it. No more Mr. Nice Host.
Woo! All right. Okay.
By the way, Jeff, do you see how he communicates with us? He writes his own comments unattributed and then reads them to us.
I know. There's no way that...
I wasn't sure it was you until it said Tim is great. Then I was like, well, that's, I mean.
No, I know it was no 7-foot rim. Tim knows that that's the, at my best, that's the only one I could get. He's like a little signifying 7-foot rim joke in there, too.
I will not even dignify the accusation. All right.
So this is going to kill us, is what you're saying.
This is going to kill you. This is 16. You got to get 13 out of 16. Welcome to the torture basement. Hit it.
All right, you ready, big man?
Yep.
Get to Phoenix.
Needs a few more dollars, and I'm out of here to stay. Dreams come true, yes they do, in Santa Fe. We'll go through Tucson, up to Santa Fe.
Play that Blink-182 song. I'll be beat to death in Tucson, okay.
Okay, so is the new thing to make it harder is making it so unbelievably shitty sounding that we can't tell if it's a song or not? What is the matter with you?
I told
you. Did you make that on two boom boxes in your 1978 basement?
I opened up to you earlier about my computer trouble and the new case. Anyways,
there's a song in here that sounds like this.
That's a product of the artist. That's not me. Jesus. All right.
I hate to let's subject ourselves to it a second time, but let's cut the second playing for our poor audience. Like, there's no way anybody should have to sit through that again.
All right. Done and all done. Right.
Can we have another? Everyone, we're going to take another pass offline and we'll be right back.
All right. That is a compilation. Let's go. Can you get, what did I say, 13 out of 16?
I think I've got 11. So unless Ben's got a few magic numbers, we're in big trouble. I don't know who that first dipshit is.
I have a good guess. I don't know if it's right, but I think it's Chris Stapleton.
Oh, phew. It is Sturgill Simpson.
Oh, we should have gotten that, actually. I do not like that song at all. Something.
That's annoying.
That's annoying because I don't dislike Sturgill Simpson, but I really thought that sucked for 4 seconds. So.
Okay.
Second, I think that's ZZ Top.
Holy shit. It is ZZ Top.
D
Dang.
What ZZ Top record is that from? That sounds awful. Is it from like four albums after Eliminator?
It is.
That is horrendous.
It is Layla or Leela by ZZ Top. I don't know what album. I'm sorry. All right.
Those poor guys.
What's number three?
Ben?
No idea.
I think it's Iron and Wine.
Iron and Wine is correct. Dang it. All right. Then
Eagles and Glenn Campbell are the next two.
Ben, you got this next one.
Natalie Merchant.
It is indeed.
Oh, way to go, buddy.
10,000 Maniacs, that first album. I think it was The Painted Desert was the last song on that first album.
Good Lord, great pull.
Ben, what's
then
next?
We got the Beatles. Then we got Steve Martin. Then we got Bruce Springsteen. And then I believe that's Depeche Mode doing Route 66.
And I was going to request that you give me the artist and not just the song title. And you are correct. It is indeed Depeche Mode.
And then we've got the thing that sounds like Satan trying to learn how to play guitar. And I have no idea what that is.
any guess, Ben?
No idea. I mean, I couldn't hear in the lyrics. I never heard.
It sounds like nothing, Tim.
Sounds like nothing. That is Your Arizona Room. That was the lyric that was hard to decipher. It's by Everclear.
Oh. I don't know that one.
And then this next one is what Billy Joel wishes he was allowed to sound like, but he won't let him sound like that. So he tries to be a rock and roll artist. So I don't know. I don't think that's Billy Joel, but in Billy Joel's little baby heart, that's what he sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah. I have Barry Manilow. Is it Barry Manilow?
It is not Barry Manilow. It's from a musical. Guess the musical?
No.
1776.
The musical is Newsies. And that is Christian Bale singing.
Are you serious?
My little sister Teresa is going to be very upset with you guys. It's a classic.
She'll just have to live with that disappointment.
Ben, I heard Jeff, I heard you singing along to this next song.
Melissa Etheridge, right?
That is correct. That's 10.
We're not gonna get it. I don't know who the pop song. I don't know the pop song.
We've talked about this song before, I believe, on our podcast. Ben was annoyed with the couple, I believe. No? That is Closer by the Chainsmokers and Halsey.
Got it.
I should have done that. My kids love those guys, man.
And
we got Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms is 11.
And the Partridge Family.
For number 12. Ooh, let's go.
You know, if the Everclear song had been discernible, Ben would have gotten it.
That's actually probably true. Yeah,
I might have to hold this loss under pro. We might have need a ruling from the commissioner.
Yeah,
I think we might have to file a protest.
I will call the guys at corporate headquarters and see if they could send me some more tech.
Fair enough, though. You know what? We missed ones we should have gotten. We should have gotten Sturgill Simpson. We should have gotten Everclear, and we should have gotten Chainsmokers. The Newsies thing, you're just a jerk. Like, the Newsies thing is just stupid.
I mean, I think that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to find a musical each time we do this, just so
That gets you at least minus one before we get started.
I still can't believe you guys got 1776. All right. Well, we are on to the favorite daughter of the Southwest. I went through all the acts over the years, and I think this person far and away has sold the most records, not only because of her solo career, but most especially because of her participation in one of the biggest bands in rock history. And we're going to go with her most popular solo song, Hit It.
And the days go by, like strength in the wind, in the web.
baby.
I actually had no idea if that was right or not, but that is my favorite Stevie Nicks solo song. So I was playing no matter what Spotify said.
It's got like 333 million plays. I mean, it's
Well, it should. That song's great, man. I love
the girls
that
love that song.
Yeah, it's a
Jimmy Iovine.
What's that?
Jimmy Iovine.
Oh, did he? Yeah, really?
Production on that sounds so good.
Yeah, so that's good. The same record that he stole "Stop Dragging My Heart Around" for Stevie too.
Yeah,
Belladonna's a pretty good record.
Yeah, so, I think it's Roy Bittan on keys there too.
Yep, it is from the E Street Band.
What happens with her next two or three albums? Like, who the heck is producing those?
Have you not Jimmy Iovine?
I mean, they are.
That's what happens.
And it reminds me of all these stories you've told about the 80s and drums, and like so clearly it's like the most artificial drum sound on her next album.
Stand Back is the single from the next record, which I kind of like too, but that record's awful. What, the Wild Heart?
Even talking about the album after that.
I haven't even heard that one, I don't think.
But it's extraordinary because some of the songs are actually really good if you just give them to a band. Stevie Nicks fans here?
Sure.
Pretty
absolutely.
Much?
I like Fleetwood Mac. I like Stevie Nicks' voice. I like a bunch of her solo songs. I liked when they trotted her out on the Tom Petty tour in 2006 and she came out and danced on the side for two songs and then went away. Like, I'm all in for Stevie.
She do Insider? She did the duet.
Yeah, she did Insider. And they brought her out to sing backgrounds on a couple of the rockers, too, like Listen to Her Heart and a couple of others. It was fun.
Yeah. And Stop Dragging My Heart Around is a banger.
It's great.
Great song.
And she wrote a bunch of those songs, like a bunch of those Fleetwood Mac monster hits or Stevie Nicks compositions. She's not just the witchy woman in the front with the scarves. Like, she wrote a bunch of great, great songs for that band. So I'm all in for Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, let's go. You know, she's currently touring with Billy Joel. Is that?
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be that all in to attend that masterpiece of a concert. But I'm glad for her that she's having fun.
When I said all in, what I meant was, hey, did you guys know that Phoenix has the Musical Instrument Museum? And you can go to this museum, and it has musical instruments from all over the world. They have a section organized by culture. They have a section organized by time periods, and it sounds like a really interesting museum. I can't wait to go there.
And they have a barefoot dude, white dude in a dashiki with a ponytail who takes you through all the percussion instruments. Because if they do, I'm in for that tour for sure.
They do have several curators, and I watched some of their videos online. I did not see him, but I'm sure he's outside.
He's either there or he's unofficially welcoming people in the parking lot with his tablas.
That's what I'm thinking. So I decided to Google top 10 most popular instruments. And according to the top 10's website, which has over 10,000 votes, I have assembled the top 10 musical instruments, and I would like you guys to work together and try to name, let's say the top five. So people are getting online and they're actually voting and like, this is my favorite instrument. This is my second favorite instrument. What do you think? 10,000 people. What's going to be number one?
I'm going to say piano.
Me too.
So close. It's number two.
And number one's guitar.
Electric guitar is number one. Good. What's number three?
I'm going to say drums.
Drums is correct. And you guys are answering at the same time. All right. What is number four?
I'm going to say violin.
Oh, you think sax? I was going to say violin or cello.
It is the bass guitar.
Oh, come on. Who... Is this from Bass Guitar Magazine?
There's Jeff voted 10,000 times.
Hey, I wouldn't even vote for Bass Guitar in the top five.
You like the bass guitar? What do you mean?
I don't know. There's a lot of instruments that come before bass.
Okay. Number five is the saxophone.
Where's violin?
Number six is the acoustic guitar. Number seven is violin. Go ahead, round it out. What are the
flute?
Next three, flute is number nine. There you go, Jeff Sarden.
Oh, good Lord.
I mean, right. The whole list comes under suspicion for flute in the top 10.
Sure, give me recorder for number 10.
Xylophone? Vibes? Marimbas?
You've got keyboards at number eight.
Stupid list.
And wait. And the trumpet, classic number 10, rounding.
All right, that's a good one.
Those are the most
popular. I play keyboards.
I actually wanted them to get more specific. Like, if you guys could name for us top three most popular electric guitars or the ones you would most want to play.
Oh, you like the actual guitar itself?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have like a go-to, this is my electric guitar, this is my brand or style? Or
I think the Fender Stratocaster is probably the best-selling guitar. Wouldn't you say, Jeff?
Yep, but my two favorites are the Gibson SG and probably the Fender Telecaster. I love me a Telecaster.
And the SG is the AC/DC one, right, with the little horns?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
but I also cool. really love the Gibson E335, which is the one that kind of looks a little bit bigger, has a hollow body. I love that guitar.
Well, I mean, that is going to be super, super interesting to 10% of our audience, right? Like, because I just think of a guitar as, and never mind.
Red first ones, of all, my favorite thing ones. Is, Timmy, you're like, hey, give me an answer to this question. Wow, that was boring. Our audience is going to hate that.
Great.
So sometimes.
Nice work, Captain.
Sometimes I ask bad questions, and sometimes you guys get bad answers. All right.
Hey, what guitar did you end up buying for your household? What is the guitar that you tell your kid to turn down?
There's an acoustic guitar upstairs, and there is an electric guitar upstairs.
I'm asking about the electric. What kind of electric do you have?
A kind of yellowish.
That poor kid. You went to a guitar store and brought him the yellow guitar.
I will text him as we start our next segment and see what he says.
All right, fantastic.
Let's go. Our three songs or albums or artists. What do you got for the Southwest, Jeff?
I have a band I actually deeply love from Tucson, Arizona. As we've covered on this podcast before, I was a little angry punk rocker in high school. And the most important record label in America for angry punk rockers was called SST Records. It was out of Los Angeles. The guys from Black Flag started it. And by the mid-80s, Black Flag and the Minutemen and Husker Du were all recording on the same label and making one record after another that little angry kids like me played until they were worn out. And the wild card on the label was this band from Tucson called the Meat Puppets. And the Meat Puppets are two brothers, Chris and Kurt, and their friend Derek on drums. They were a trio. They start as a hilariously untalented hardcore punk band. Their first record, their first single was called In a Car. It sounds like it was recorded in one. The debut record is almost unlistenable, including a just tragic version of Tumble and Tumbleweeds. But by Meat Puppets 2, they started to figure something out. They had Kurt's a hell of a guitar player, and they started to slow some things down and speed some things up, and they started to write some interesting stuff. They can't sing at all, so their songs are great theoretically, but the vocals are so hilariously amateur. But the next record, 1985, they put out a record called Up on the Sun. And it is the answer to what if a psychedelic jam band toured with punk rock acts. It's not a punk rock record, except that it just is. It's on SST and punk kids are grooving to it. But by this point, the band has grown its hair way down its shoulders. And this music is deeply Southwestern in its spaciousness, and it's really intricate and excellently played. They still are not what I would call singers, by any stretch, but Up on the Sun and then the follow-up EP called Out My Way are two of my favorite records. I still listen to them all the time. The Meat Puppets stayed on SST and then switched to a major label, but the major label went out of business and then they lost control of the recordings, and then the brothers fell into some pretty severe drug addiction and it was not looking good for these guys. And they have kind of wonderfully pulled themselves out of it. They are back together. They are recording again. They played the Ivy Room, where I just played myself recently a couple of months ago. So they're back on a very modest level, but they're alive and happy, which is really nice to see. I'm going to play the title track from Up on the Sun because it's just a kind of a perfect introduction. You're going to hear the kind of like fast, noodly guitar of Jerry Garcia, with kind of an in no hurry backbeat, especially for a punk band. But you'll hear how open and spacious these guys are. I love them. I think they're a wonderful, weird hybrid of a bunch of different cultures in the best kinds of ways that American art can be sometimes. So here we go.
Long time ago, I turned to myself and said, you are my darling. I saw that the image, I saw there was love. So you are my daughter. Something to talk about. Who told you so?
Woo!
Come on. That sounded so good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. They have one big hit in 94 that you might have heard, Tim. Do you remember the song Backwater?
Yes. Yeah.
That's them. Yeah. That was their kind of like 15 minutes. And of course, they were on the Nirvana Unplugged concert on MTV, where Kurt Cobain invited them on to play three songs for Meat Puppets 2 with him. And that brought them into the zeitgeist for a good 15 minutes.
But they got a unique little groove
And actually, like, that song is a little lopey, but like, these guys can really, really play. Let me play you 10 seconds of of track two.
Okay.
A very weird hybrid. That song has no vocals, but it has a whole whistling section, which I really enjoy quite a bit. So
that is not the selling point, but they sound great. Yeah, why did they why didn't Backwater get them more play?
Well, that was the one record for a major, and they had just been on MTV Unplugged with Nirvana, and then Kurt tragically passed away. I remember that was on a loop for 3 months on MTV, right. 10 hours a day. So that the guest turn they did on that gave them some, brought them out of total anonymity. And then they made this one record that was a hit, and then their personal lives kind of consumed them for almost two decades. So
that's going to be the story of my artist as well. All right, Ben, what do you got?
So first, a few notes about the Southwest, the great American Southwest. To start, glass half full, which is ironic because it's so dry. really pretty. And growing up in the Northeast, really, really, really unusual. Yeah. Like, it's like, I've never seen any vistas like that. I've never been any place like that. Indy and I lived there for the 2 years, basically right up until my oldest daughter was born. I was teaching at Arizona State and she was working at the state legislature. And so we traveled all over the Southwest and absolutely loved it. Hiking, just so spectacular and gorgeous. Phoenix, we were in Tempe. And I think I'm going to challenge y'all. I think it's the very best geographic nickname, the Valley of the Sun. Ooh. When you Ooh, were that's there good. In the summertime, there yeah. is a single notable feature about the Valley of the Sun. And it's like the Sauron angry yellow eye just like bearing down on you. Some of the things we didn't like is everything's new, brand new. And then, of course, you realize that before air conditioning, there was under no circumstances could a person live there in the summer. Right. Like that was completely unacceptable. I mean, the native people basically came down to the valley in the winter and then went up the flag in the summer and came back and forth. And I was like, well, that that's a lifestyle you could get used to. But being there in the summer is just completely and utterly unacceptable. And it's a new place where everybody's moved there. And there's a weird, like, libertarian unfriendliness to that. India Kincannon is the friendliest, most neighborly person that I know. And the second year that we were there, I basically had a job offer there in Tennessee and a couple other places. And India locked herself out of our apartment or, like, our little rental place.
Uh-huh.
And she needed a phone. This is before mobile phones. And she realized that she didn't know our neighbors, that she had to go knock on the door and introduce herself and say, hi, I'm your neighbor. I need to borrow your phone. And she was like, we could never live here. This is just not an acceptable place to live. It was a really nice little place, but it was like you drove in your garage and the air conditioning went in, just never saw anybody again.
Right.
I have a less Southwestern-y selection than Jeff, although this guy is actually born in Nogales, Arizona. And it's my guy, Charles Mingus. His dad's in the Army, so he's born on an Army base there. And that part is super Southwestern. I don't know if anybody else besides me has been to Nogales. It's there's these swaths of things, and it's in New Mexico too, where you're like, this is clearly Mexico. There's no border here at all. Like Nogales is completely indistinguishable from the little town that's you throw a football and it's on the other side, on the other side there for sure. He basically grew up in Watts, so it's a little bit of light cheating, but I'm going to go ahead and call it out. And also, it's my understanding that the bass guitar is the fourth most favorite instrument. So I think it's key that we get some.
You know, research bears that out, apparently. Yeah.
I'm a huge gargantuan Mingus fan. I put him in the top five of jazz artists for me. Like, I just absolutely love him and his work. I love the vibe. He's such a weirdo with like a little pipe and the cigar everywhere. Super, super extra good. This isn't actually my favorite Mingus song, but it's a great one because it kind of features the bass at the beginning. Jeff, it's like Roman numeral 2BS. You know that song? From Mingus, 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 Mingus. That's the other thing that makes me really happy. She's got an album where it's just his last name five times.
It's the leadoff track, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Mingus, 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 Mingus. Good stuff.
It's great. I love that one.
It's great. What are your top five? Who are your top five guys?
Oh, my top five jazz people?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go Miles Davis, number one.
Okay.
I'm going to go Thelonious Monk, number two. I'm going to go Herbie Hancock, number three. Then I'm going to go with Mingus. And then now I'm going to have to think about it.
So you don't have Coltrane in there yet. I would put
Coltrane. Sorry. Great. Now I don't have to think about it. Good job.
And then I love all if that's not my top five, then Herbie Hancock and Keith Jarrett have to have a fist fight for the fifth spot. But that's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Love it. And I mean, we're not jazz bows, but those artists transcend genre. They're just all, for me, that's the list. I love it.
Cool. Well, also, that song just kills me. Like, he starts out with like a weird slow bass solo, and then he's like, in case you were wondering what happens when I get down, and he just switches over and starts laying down that groove. Oh, so tasty. And then the whole band comes in, one piece after another. Oh, love it.
That horn comes in. I was like, hey, now, let's go.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Good stuff here in the Southwest. I'm going to close it out with the Gin Blossoms, the band I interviewed in 1993 when I was at Northeastern University. Had a great conversation with Jesse. I think his last name is Valenzuela. I think he's the guitarist. And then I moved out to Tucson for 3 weeks. And I lived with my buddy Joe at the University of Arizona. I told you about these guys, right? They put tinfoil on all their windows and kept the AC at like 68 degrees. And they just smoked dope all the time, just bongs everywhere. And I lived in this apartment for 3 weeks. After like 5 days, I had no idea what time of day it was or anything. Like, I'd go outside. I thought it was night. It's like 10 in the morning. It's 100 degrees out. It was a strange little vacation in Tucson. And the Gin Blossoms, they're a terribly sad story. Their most popular song was written by one of their guitarists who later gets kicked out of the band because of his drug use and self-destructive behavior, Doug Hopkins. And then he's going to kill himself after they get their success later that year in either late 93 or 94. But I want you to hit us with their big, big hit, Jeff Symonds. Hey, Jealousy.
I just want to ask a question.
Yeah.
Who has more monthly listens on Spotify, Charles Mingus or the Gin Blossoms?
I would say Charles Mingus.
Ben?
It's got to be the Gin Blossoms.
It's the Gin Blossoms 3 times as many monthly listens than Charles Mingus.
In 2020,
the Gin Blossoms are averaging 1.7 monthly listens. Now, in 2023,
Jealousy, right? Is there another song? What's the second most played song?
Oh, you don't remember? Found Out About You.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
That's second. But no, it's Hey Jealousy, and Here It Is in the runaway hit.
Here tonight, you can see I'm no sheep for driving. And anyway, I've got no place to go. Yet you know it might not be that bad. You were the best I'd ever had. If I hadn't blown the whole thing years ago, I may not be alone. Tomorrow we can drive around this town and let the cops chase us around. The past is gone, but something might be.
I've got an edgy side too. I'll drive around.
You know what? I'm just having two reactions to that.
I'm sorry. Like, that's timeout. We need to rethink our choices right now.
I have two immediate reactions. One is like that mid-90s guitar sound is just awful. It's just like it makes my teeth hurt. Like that metallic scrapey.
I think it's like one. You mentioned this, and I was like, "Oh, we got to get back to that." I don't think we ever did. So, what is the guitar?
Hate that guitar sound. I mean, like, there's no. It's all. It's like metal without cutting through, but it's distorted without being like warm. It's just the worst It's the worst impulses of distortion and metal screech combined into the tinniest. I just hate it. And then my second is, boy, is that a song about white privilege. Let's drive around and let the cops chase us. Like,
yeah.
I remember hearing that at the time. I'm like, yeah, you know, because it's like a cartoon. Like, you pop it in and out of 7-Elevens, and the cops are like, boppity, 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 boppity. You're like, oh, gotta run. Like,
hey.
That is a really, really funny lyric.
Hey, copper. Wait, who starts that 90s? Is it starting that?
I don't know. I think it's when punk goes mainstream with metal. Like, metal's what everybody listened to in the 80s, unless you were a punk rocker. And then Nirvana cuts through with a more punk rock guitar. And I think those two things smash together and become, quote unquote, alternative rock. But alternative rock now, to me, just sounds like,
yeah,
shitty guitar tone. I like that song too. I like that song. I like the melody. I was enjoying it. But I was like, that second guitar came in to kick it up a notch. And I was like, ugh, terrible sound.
You guys like Social Distortion?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. That's good. That's right.
In our college.
Do you agree, Ben, or is that just like a particular irritation for me?
So this is still in the transitional period where it doesn't bother me as bad. It's not like Korn. Okay. You know what I mean? Like that sound eventually gets boiled down even farther to be even more annoying. But I disagree with you also. I don't like that song.
I always thought it was like Mr. Jones's dumb cousin. It's the same song, yeah, basically. Yeah. But Mr. Jones is a version of this, just much smarter.
You know what I heard yesterday on the radio was John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band with their stupid Bruce Springsteen.
Can we just have a timeout? What radio station are you listening to?
It was
John Cafferty comes on.
Classic rock station. But I was like, this is the most insane song. Like, that's a Bruce Springsteen. So, like, it's a bad Bruce Springsteen song. And then
it's actually a bad John Cougar Mellencamp song. It's R.O.C.K. in the USA. Exactly.
Well, I've already told my kids about Indiana Bruce Springsteen and Canadian Bruce Springsteen. I didn't have the heart to tell them about Rhode Island Bruce Springsteen.
Do you know where the concert footage in Eddie and the Cruisers was filmed by any chance?
Don't tell me Mill Valley.
No, even better. Haverford College. That's Founders Hall. The concert footage of the Eddie Cruiser show in that is Founders. And once you know that, you just die laughing. You got to check it out on YouTube, Ben.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, the really funny thing is that you and I have also played there. That's,
yeah, I know.
That's right? A good
sign. Eddie and the Cruisers and you guys. Hey, upstairs, young Patrick Plain is playing a Synsonics Pro Series.
Nice.
All right.
The money starts to flow in from this podcast, which the guys in marketing tell me is any minute, we're going to buy that boy a Fender so he can really crank it up.
Okay. So let's start used until he like puts in serious hours. Okay. All right, gentlemen. Good times in the Southwest. Oh, wait, Jeff Simons, who's our artist in residence?
Our artist in residence is my dear friend, Brad Brooks. Brad and I have known each other for something like 16 years now. He's a Bay Area-based singer-songwriter. He's one of the best frontmen ever. He actually just toured singing lead with the MC5 with Wayne Kramer, the original guitar player. He is a solo artist in his own right. You should check him out on Spotify. His most recent record, God Save the City, is a powerful indictment of the have and have not experience of living in the Bay Area. And I've been lucky enough to back the boy up on bass at a number of shows. He's an old running buddy, but he is from Tucson, Arizona, and cut his teeth in the Tucson, Arizona punk rock scene. So he has some good stories. He has a hilarious story about when he was a UPS guy delivering an Uzi to Lee Marvin's ranch. So
okay, that's terrifying. I do not know.
Yeah, it was. It's great. There's actually a song in his record called Lee Marvin's Uzi, which is it's autobiographical and really great. So.
All right, fellas. Good times tonight. I will see you later.
Well done, y'all.
Everybody.
Take care. Bye.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.